This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Lim Soo Ann. We have three stories for you today. First up, the World Health Organization yesterday characterized COVID-19 as a pandemic, saying it is alarmed by the spread of the disease and inaction from many countries. So we'll get a quick refresher on what exactly this means. Following that, villagers from six Semai settlements in Ulu Gurentum Gopeng have been protesting against a mini hydropower plant project that will affect their ancestral lands. The project was approved by the Perak state government without prior consultation with the villagers. Although there is an ongoing legal case, contractors armed with chainsaws and riding tractors turned up to tear down nine huts built on the proposed site from four mini hydro dams on Monday. So we find out what exactly is happening there in Gopeng.
And for our final story, in the wake of recent political turmoil in Malaysia, we often hear words like pengkhianat and traitor on social media, not just by the rakyat, but by politicians themselves. So we'll be discussing how politicians should communicate in the wake of defeat. Mm-hmm. And along with that, we have a social media poll for you on Twitter. We're asking you if, do you find that Malaysian politicians present themselves well on social media? So your options are yes or no. And you can tell us why or why not. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So that's coming up later in the show. But first, probably the thing that is on most of our minds, the novel coronavirus or COVID-19. The World Health Organization yesterday characterized COVID-19 now as a pandemic. So here are some excerpts from yesterday's daily media briefing by the WHO, where Director General Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus made this statement.
In the days and weeks ahead, we expect to see the number of cases, the number of deaths, and the number of affected countries climb even higher. WHO has been assessing this outbreak around the clock, and we're deeply concerned both by the alarming levels of spread and severity and by the alarming levels of inaction. We have therefore made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic. If countries detect, test, treat, isolate, trace, and mobilize their people in the response, those with a handful of cases can prevent those cases becoming clusters and those clusters becoming community transmission. Even those countries with community transmission or larger clusters can turn the tide on this virus. Several countries have demonstrated that this virus can be suppressed and controlled. The challenge for many countries who are now dealing with large clusters or community transmission is not whether they can do the same, it's whether they will. Some countries are struggling with a lack of capacity. Some countries are struggling with a lack of resources. Some countries are struggling with a lack of resolve.
So the WHO has held back on calling COVID-19 a pandemic before this. You know, it has cautioned that pandemic is not a word that they want to use lightly or carelessly.
Right.
So a quick refresher on what all these terms mean. An outbreak is when there is a sudden increase in the number of people with a condition greater than is expected. So for example, this was when COVID-19 first began. Mm-hmm. And then an endemic condition is present at a fairly stable, predictable rate among a group of people. So for example, if we look in Malaysia, you can say that dengue is endemic to us.
Meanwhile, an epidemic is an outbreak that spreads over a larger geographical area, like for instance, the Zika virus, which started in Brazil in 2014 and then spread to most of Latin America and the Caribbean. Mm. And a pandemic is an epidemic that spreads globally. For instance, H1N1 in 2019 and now COVID. 2009, sorry, and now COVID.
Yes. So however, Dr. Tedros emphasized that describing the situation as a pandemic does not change WHO's assessment of the threat posed by this virus. It doesn't change what the WHO is doing, and it doesn't change what countries should be doing. Mm. So what should countries do? So last month, the Daily Digest team spoke to the WHO representative to Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei Darussalam, Dr. Low Ying Ru, about the significance of calling this a pandemic. So here she is explaining what kind of preparedness steps countries have to take.
So as part of outbreak response planning, all countries plan for the possibility of uncontained global spread of a disease and that they have systems in place to take coordinated actions to strengthen outbreak preparedness and response measures. For example, in Malaysia has enhanced health education, advice to the general public. They're very active in mainstream media, social media, on TV, everywhere. Secondly, Malaysia has maintained infection prevention control at all levels. It has expanded and enhanced surveillance and its lab capacity, strengthened case management for people who are unwell in hospitals. You've seen that all on social media. They have activated rapid assessment teams and rapid response teams at all levels. They have enhanced coordination and established a joint working group between different ministries, among many, many others. So moving from the containment phase to mitigation, that is the mitigation phase is usually where you can see social disruption. And what does it mean, a mitigation phase? It means that there are sustained transmission in the community, so that there are infections occurring which cannot be linked back to a country of origin or people who were sick, and the infections pop up left and right independently and widely in a country. So that's where we come to mitigation. And what WHO is actually recommending to all countries, based on the lessons we learned during the SARS epidemic and MERS corona epidemic, is you have to be prepared very early onwards for this moving from containment, so interrupting transmission, to mitigation, which means basically reducing harm. The strategy would change, and we are recommending that countries should always be prepared for mitigation, irrespective of what kind disease outbreak has happened. This starts with coordination planning and monitoring, risk communication, community engagement, surveillance, infection prevention control, case management, and operational support and logistics. So what is new or what would be different is really that you, it would no longer be feasible to maintain a containment approach, interrupting transmission. The interruption of transmission, the containment, what's currently ongoing is really finding cases, active case management and active case finding and detection, contact tracing and containment, the quarantine, self-quarantine. And that, if that's no longer feasible, then you would move to a stage where the objective is to reduce the impact of the outbreak. Like for influenza, for example, you would prepare to continue hand hygiene, respiratory hygiene, and a face mask for sick or in symptomatic individuals. You would continue the voluntary isolation of ill individuals, and you would enhance the environmental measures, surface and object cleaning, but you would no longer pursue this case finding, and you would also consider moving or enhancing social distancing measures. That's very disruptive. For example, avoiding crowding, mass gatherings, and that's a difficult step to take. What is also important is public health measures. This includes that the hospitals are prepared, that you have sufficient staff to diagnose and manage patients.
So you just heard from a previous segment of the Daily Digest, which you can find by searching for COVID-19 pandemic on our website at bfm.my.
So just to recap, there are now more than 118,000 cases of COVID-19 in 114 countries, and more than 4,600 people have died. Iran and Italy are the two countries currently struggling the most with a spike in their death toll.
And in Malaysia, cases are being reported almost every day from KKM from identified clusters. So to date, we have 149 confirmed cases, out of which 26 have fully recovered and been discharged. The latest measures taken by Malaysia this week are barring both citizens of and foreigners travelling from Iran, Italy and South Korea from entering and transiting in Malaysia. And meanwhile, the ban on visitors from Hubei, Zhejiang, Jiangsu provinces in China and Hokkaido in Japan remains as well.
And the Ministry of Health is urging for mass gatherings to be postponed for the time being and for people to avoid travel to high-risk countries. People should practice social distancing to avoid unnecessary close contact with people and to stay home and to stay home or seek treatment when they are ill, especially, you know, the school holidays are coming up next week, so definitely something to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's right. And finally, the Ministry of Health is also urging those who had attended the Ijtimah Tabligh at Sri Petaling Mosque in Kuala Lumpur from 28th February to 1st March for people who attended that to cooperate with health officials so that any possible spread of the virus can be contained. Mm-hmm. And it is estimated that more than 5,000 Malaysians had attended the function. So if you were at the function, you can call the Crisis Preparedness and Response Centres at their hotlines. So they have three numbers. I'm going to read them out to you. 03-8881-0200 or 8881-0600 or 8881-0700. And if you call these numbers, you can find out what you should do. And I think it's important for people to remember that this is for your own health and safety, as well as the people around you, especially people that you live with or have very close contact with.
Yeah, and you know, on that note, one thing to think about also, I know that it's tempting and you know, we're all worried, but stop forwarding messages or posts or advice or updates on something that's already being reported in the news. So unless it's verified, unless you've taken the time to make sure that these updates are coming from a reputable source, just don't do that forwarding. You know, we don't need unverified updates causing unnecessary panic at this time.
That's right.
So that is all the time we have for this story, but we will be keeping you updated on the situation as and when news comes up. You can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We will be back after a quick break. This is the Daily Digest on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.